good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that.
You see, he feels good because he's had his grains, and he's in search of ancient and heirloom grains. So thank you, Mr. James Brown. On that note, let's go to the phones and bring in, first of all, Stephen Jones. Stephen, are you with me there?
I am.
Stephen is with the Bread Lab at Washington State University. He is joined on the other line by Gilbert Williams. Gilbert, hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
From Lonesome Stone Milling in Wisconsin. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being on the program this morning.
Good to be here.
Thanks for having us.
What's weather like out in Washington State? That's what I want to know.
Well, I'm actually in Austin, Texas, right outside the airport right now. I'm based north of Seattle, and the daffodils are about to bloom in about 3 days.
We hate you.
I don't want to hear about it.
I know.
I saw a friend of mine who lives in Atlanta posted a photo yesterday of crocuses coming up. I hate him as well.
Good.
Now, I realize hate's a strong word. I'm just a little jealous.
I understand it, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, Stephen, I had a vacation home out in Washington State for about 17 years. So I love it. Was on the Olympic Peninsula.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm familiar with it.
Yeah. I love the Pacific Northwest. I wonder, what am I still doing in Chicago? I think that it's just a great place to live.
Well, my mother-in-law's there, so I love Chicago, too.
Ah, good. So you guys are in the vanguard of a new wave of food, which happens to be grains. Except that this vanguard is going back to ancient grains. Why are we doing what happened in the meantime? I thought, Wonder Bread builds bodies, strong bodies 12 ways.
That was the problem.
Yeah. Well, and it's not so much the wheat, but what we've been doing with it and the flour. So we work with newer ones too. But in our laboratory, we work with 100% whole wheat grain, and we fresh mill it, and we make bread that has only 4 ingredients instead of 24. So we work with craft bakers on discovery of how to make something like 100% whole wheat taste good, and then also discovering how to make all the nutritional value of it available to folks. So it's sort of what we're doing. We work with the older grains, and we do work with some newer ones too. So
now that's out at the Bread Lab in Washington State. Stephen, can you explain exactly what the Bread Lab is?
Yeah, and first I'll say where we are. So we're north of Seattle. So we're about an hour north of Seattle, about an hour south of Vancouver, British Columbia, in the Skagit Valley, which is an area of very diverse farms. We grow about 80 different crops there, including tulips and daffodils. And the farmers rotate with wheat, and it was always treated as sort of a commodity. So and worth nothing, basically, and soulless and faceless and tasteless. So we devised the Bread Lab about 4 years ago, and what we do is we turn a laboratory into a craft bakery. So I have a full-time baker, and we have scientific equipment, and we have baking equipment like a steam-injected hearth oven, and we just discover new uses and flavors. And something we noticed right away about 4 years ago is there can be a terroir and a flavor to our wheat, and we never really knew that prior to coming in. So we're working with flavors, we're working with chefs. We have Dan Barber, chefs from Blue Hill in New York, came in. That's the James Beard Most Outstanding Restaurant in the country this year. And he had chefs there last week making 100% whole wheat pastry. So we do the science and we do the art, too. We work directly with chefs and bakers.
You know, I'm sure there are people out there who think that if I'm going to eat whole wheat bread, it's a punishment of some kind.
They do it, and we flavor's important, so we work a lot on the texture and flavor, and we can make 100% whole wheat baguettes from local wheat, and they're just delicious. So we need to get over that kind of 60s or 70s bad whole wheat bread thing that we're all dealing with.
I think it goes back a little before that as well. But at some point, we used to bake a lot of our own bread in the country. We just don't do that anymore.
Exactly. And we hold workshops for folks, too, serious home bakers. And I agree completely. You know, if people can fresh mail or hook up with a local mailer like our other speaker and get fresh grains, it'll open up a whole new world for them. I started baking with my Polish grandmother when I was 6 years old, and I haven't stopped. So.
See, if my Polish grandmother had actually spoken the language, it might have been a little easier. Did she teach you Polish?
No, she spoke English.
Oh, okay. You had an advantage there. Gilbert Williams, what's going on in Wisconsin? You work with others at the Lonesome Stone Milling. How does that operation work?
Well, actually, we started that about 5 years ago just as a seed cleaning operation, but then found we can take rye and soft red winter wheat, and that makes a very good pancake mix, so we started selling that at farmers markets. And then we got a 30-inch Meadows stone mill and started milling flour, and at the same time found that the grain that came off the ridge tops of the driftless area was of bread quality more years than not. So we've been working with organic farms on the ridge tops in the driftless area to produce a quality flour. And we fresh mill, and we've been delivering to Madison. And then recently we were working with Hune Bakery in Evanston. And then there's going to be a new Fennig Bakery coming. And I'm meeting with a partner there, Peter Becker, on Wednesday. So, you know, we're coming to Chicago. And, you know, I just want to talk a little more about grains. Is we've got now what is 70 acres of Turkey Red in the ground. And Turkey Red came from the Crimean region of Russia in the 1870s, went to Kansas and became what is now the great-grandfather of a lot of the hard red winter wheats. And we got a few hundred pounds from Kansas a couple of years back, planted 3 seed trials last year. And, so now we've got seed for 70 acres, and we find that it does Wisconsin winters well, and I have no difficulties with this winter. You know, we're under the snow comfortably here.
You know, that was the question I was going to ask next, because you guys are living in two distinctly different parts of the country. Does that limit the kinds of grains you can grow? So in the Pacific Northwest, are you going to get something that Wisconsin can't do and vice versa?
Well, yes and no. We can grow turkey there, and we do, but the varieties would tend to be pretty regional. Some of the folklore is that you can't grow bread wheat in certain areas, and that's been debunked pretty well. But the varieties would be different, the flavors would be different, and the quality characteristics. But bread wheat can be grown most anywhere.
Yeah, I would like to add to that is the terroir. You know, we do see terroir, and I've been working with, you know, farmers who have been careful with the soil and monitoring what are the micronutrients, and it's the right balance of the micronutrients and a good crop rotation leads to a very healthy soil, and on that, you know, small grains is part of the rotation, and that's what we're buying. And then you get a very flavorful grain, and it's that flavor that makes the customer buy it the second time.
And the fresh mill too. So that fresh mill, they pick up flavors that they never imagined. So if you can get something that's been milled just a few days ahead of time, or even mill your own, it has a liveliness too when you're baking it that can be somewhat unpredictable. But that's kind of fun too as a baker.
Yeah. Well, I also want to give a plug for Stone Milling. We've got a 30-inch Meadows mill, and you're grinding the whole grain. You're including the wheat germ, which has the majority of the nutrients, and the wheat germ oil, which has got a good chunk of the flavor. And so in the milling process, you need to keep the flavor. And, you know, we do have a sifter, so we can make a whole wheat and a sifted product, but we only sift out about 3/4 of the bran. We do keep what is the wheat germ. So, you know, we don't do white bread, but we'll do a whole wheat or a sifted stone milled product.
What is white bread, really?
Yucky.
Well, okay, let me take one. In the about 1900, roller mills and sifters replaced stone milling, where you can essentially take apart the grain, and then you can take out the wheat germ. And so your white bread is with the wheat germ and the bran removed. And it is more shelf stable because there's no oil in it to go rancid. And that was good for larger organizations and larger sales.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And it made the white bread, but you then lack the nutrients in the germ. And so the 12 ways Wonder Bread makes you strong or whatever was the additives that were there in place of the germ.
Aha. Uh-huh.
In place of Mother Nature.
They take away all the iron and zinc and magnesium and the good proteins and vitamin B complex. It's basically like taking a wheat seed and peeling it the way you peel an apple.
Yeah.
And throwing that good part away.
Oh.
The flavor and all the nutrients go away. The inside of a wheat kernel it looks like a little ball of cotton. It's just this white fluffy stuff, and that's flour.
I want to get a quick question in here. I'm not sure if you guys would be able to answer it, but let's try it very quickly. John, what's your question for us?
Yeah, I got my new Burpee catalog, and they have in there now, it's called an Amazing Hybrid Sweet Corn, and it's got restricted use. And I'll read it. As by purchasing this package, it's amazing to see the customer agrees to use the seeds solely for home gardening growth for human consumptions and agrees not to distribute, sell the seed or crop or plant for any other purpose. You hear about that lately?
May I comment on that? Did you say hybrid variety?
Correct.
Yeah, well, and that's a corn. You know, a true hybrid will not reproduce, that is, will not grow its own seed, or if it does, it will revert to one of the two parents. You know, or a non-true hybrid would reproduce itself. And what you have is that's the basic language that Monsanto puts in its seed. And it just means you can't replant the seed, but, you know, I kind of think that's an agronomist's joke there, where the hybrid doesn't really need that label because it wouldn't grow anyway.
Right. That's my basic idea on that, too, because if that'd be the case, just for giggles, I would take an old, the corn on the cob and then take that off in the fall or let it dry out and try to regrow it from there.
We're running into a lot of ownership issues like that. You know, that's the wave coming right now. And for us in our program, we don't attach those kind of labels to the things that we develop. But it's more and more common. So
I'm going to thank you, John, for that question. So the idea is you guys are growing seeds that will reproduce and that can be passed along to other future generations. Now, before I let you go, talk about the workshop that you're going to be doing at the Good Foods Festival.
Go ahead.
We're on a panel and we'll be talking about good food and how grains, you know, for me, I'm going to be talking about how it's not the wheat or it's not the flour. It's what we've been doing to it, you know, like making white bread and things like that. That's how we've been going south with flavor and functionality and nutrition.
Well, but Stephen,
bread lab.
I was just going to say, but Stephen, are we rediscovering part of the title is ancient grains. Are we rediscovering stuff that we put aside before and we're growing again?
I'd like to jump in here.
Yeah, Gilbert.
We'll be talking about the benefits of the older wheats, but and moving forward with them. I think that's important.
Yeah, Gilbert.
Yeah, and what we can offer here is where we are now. I mean, I can show you how we do it. It's not a secret. It's a very old trade. And then, you know, I'd like people into Chicago to be aware of us, you know, because we need Chicago as a market. I really like to see the Driftless area of Wisconsin be more of a food shed for Chicago.
Well, and I can see on your website that it's possible to purchase product, everything from chocolate cake mix to some of the wheat flours directly. And so you would be able to source some of that stuff from your website.
Yes. We're not a totally developed online system, but, you know, you can see what's on the website and you can give us a call.
Well, at the Good Food Festival in Chicago on the 14th, Friday workshop from 10:45 to 12 noon, it's production and processing of local and heritage grains. On Saturday, we lose you, Gilbert, but Stephen's still around. Saturday from 11 to 12:15, Ancient Grains, the Seed to Table Journey. And then there's a second workshop on Saturday from 12:30 to 1:45, Ancient Grains in Your Kitchen. So, gentlemen, I'm looking forward to meeting you in person when you come to Chicago. I appreciate you being on the show, and I'm sure folks are going to be eager to learn all about this.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, you guys have a great Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you too.
Bye-bye.